Morning. The reading is from John 14, verses 1 to 14, and it's page 1082 in the Church Bible. 1082. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. Have you experienced being with the loved ones at their time of departure? Either it may be a temporary departure, leaving for a short while, or to a long distance, don't know when we would see them again, or the final departure from this world. Last week, we marked the 100th anniversary of the Remembrance Sunday. Some of you perhaps might have experienced or heard stories about the loved ones departing from the family to go for the war. Even that person might not know when he would come back and rejoining with the family. Some of us might have experienced being beside the bedside of the loved ones before their final departure. Can you remember the words they have uttered to you during those precious moments? Those words are always more powerful and thought-provoking. My father-in-law was a godly man. He was an evangelist. Many of our family members, including his children, came to know the ministry he was doing about the clear details only on his funeral service. He was a silent evangelist. During his last phase of his life on this earth, he went into dementia. He forgot almost everything including the whole family. But he remembered one thing. He was remembering about God, and he was reciting the Psalms he learned in his childhood. He was worshipping songs to the Lord. Repeatedly, he was saying one thing. My dad has come to take me home. He knew where he was going. This is the assurance that we Christians need to have. We ought to know where we will be going after this life on this earth. And this is not the message for only the Christian believers. This is a comfortable message for the whole world to know. Have you seen the evangelists having a list of questions when they approach to the non-believer? One of the questions will be definitely asking, do you know where you will go after you die on this earth? This is an important question. People in this world are searching answers for this question. It is the same anxiety the 12 disciples of Jesus were going through nearing the time of Jesus' departure from this world. We would think these disciples have been with Jesus over a period of his ministry. They might have encountered seeing Jesus performing miracles and healings. Have they not got the clue yet? Who he is, what he is up to, where he is going? Remember, they have been with Jesus just over the period of 3 years. How long we know Jesus? How many times we have heard Easter messages? How often we encounter God's miracles in our lives? How frequently we are remembered about God's trust and hope that we need to have in Him through our daily Bible readings, fellowship meetings, prayers, Sunday sermons. Still, when a difficulty comes before us, we become desperate and we still question the Lord with the same troubled heart. One of the common diseases that all of us have is the troubling heart. This is about the anxiety of the future. All the root sources of this troubling heart, mainly on either health, finance, or relationship. In this passage we read, with those same troubling hearts, during the departure of Jesus from this world, three disciples were asking three questions to Jesus. And Jesus was patiently replying those questions. And those questions were not only to the disciples, and it is for us as well. So we are going to reflect on those three questions and see what the answers Jesus has given to us through that. Jesus was celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples before his departure. Jesus has already given hints about his departure soon. But during this meal, he used an opportunity to explain in clear detail about his departure. This Passover meal, it reminds us the Exodus Passover meal when the Israelites were celebrating before they were entering into the promised land. In the New Testament, Jesus is using this Passover meal, the same time of fellowship to tell his disciples where he is going, where they will all follow him after that to the everlasting promised land. Think about this. They have been with Jesus for all this time, day and night, in all their happy and concerned moments. All their hope is revolving around Jesus. They might have tried by then how to sleep on the rough grounds. They might have tried how to tackle with the religious leaders. They might have equipped by then how to talk with the Pharisees and Sadducees when they were questioning about the theology or doctrines. And all those times, they were just following Jesus. They were seeing what Jesus has been doing. Their complete dependence has been upon Jesus. They might have come to a point that they can't do anything in Jesus' absence. At that moment, Jesus was telling them, "I am going to leave soon." They might have shattered. They might have troubled with their hearts, and their hearts will be filled with anxieties. How they are going to deal things without Jesus? What is going to happen to us? As always, like Peter, he jumped in and he asked this question, "Lord, where are you going?" This question has an intention that since from the beginning until then, even when Jesus was planning to have his own personal time with his Father alone on his own, the disciples found some way to go to Jesus. They will search for him and they will go and be with him. So Peter might be thinking, wherever he goes, I will go and be with him. So he was asking, "Where are you going, Lord?" They did not realize that they cannot do this at this time, because they cannot follow him now, maybe later. They didn't know about that. Jesus sensed their troubled hearts. Jesus knows how much anxiety it might have filled in them when they received this unanticipated news. So he was telling them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." What a caring and gentle words Jesus has uttered to those troubled hearts. These words were not only to the disciples, and it is for us as well. In Jewish tradition, the groom usually utters these words to the bride during betrothal, before the wedding. The groom would come and say to the bride, "See, we are now related through this engagement. Now, I need to go back to my Father's house. I need to work, I need to yearn, I need to do few things to prepare a place for you to come and join me. But I don't know when it will happen. Only my Father knows. So when the time comes, my Father will send me back. So I will come back to you, and I will marry you, and I will take you back to the place where I went, where I am going to prepare." Jesus is a groom, and we are his bride. We are waiting for the Messiah to come back again, to take us all home. He has gone to prepare the place for us. What a considerable words, generous words, Jesus is been uttering. The Lord Himself is saying to us, I am caring for you. Don't be anxious. Don't think that where I am going. I will come back. I will come back and take you to the place where I am going. Jack, I need your help. So in this place, he was saying that when the disciples were confused, he used an if statement again. It is a conditional statement, and he is saying that unless I go and prepare a place for you, you cannot come. So I have to go back again. And he was saying in the last verse, and you know the way to where I am going. They were confused. The disciples were thinking, yes, Lord, we know that you have been telling that you are going to your father's house. We don't know where the father's house is. So how do we know the way to the father's house? That was the question. It came to Thomas. And he was asking, how can we know the way, Lord? And Jesus was explaining to that. Usually we call Thomas as a doubting Thomas. Always he doubts about what Jesus is asking. But I see Thomas as an interesting person. He always asks questions from a genuine point of view. His questions were always an honest and a very transparent one. We need to have that transparency, especially in God, with God and the people, with the believers and the fellowship around. Because even in prayers, sometimes we hide our anxieties, we hide our troubles, we hide our innermost desires, and we will come up with a well-polished, well-smoothened, and well-formatted words to God. After all, He is God. He knows all about our thoughts. We don't need to take so much effort in making words or sentences. We just need to pour out our transparency. Like Thomas was asking, Lord, we don't know where you are going. What are you saying about? Where is the way? I don't know about the way. Honesty always pays its reward. See the answer, what Jesus has given to Thomas and us as well. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. I am the way and the truth and the life. It comprises the whole salvation plan in that one single sentence. It shows that all the purpose of Jesus has been converged on that one statement. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And he was asking, what am I? I am the way. I am going to prepare the way. I am going to prepare the place for you. I myself will become the way for you. And for preparing the way, I need to offer my own life. And he was saying that it is a way that he is going to prepare which breaks the barriers of sins so that we can enter into the eternity that was hindering us so far. The way he is going to make us will form a bridge between us and God. The way he is going to prepare us will make a reconciliation between us and the Lord and the Father. The way he is going to prepare will bring a promise for us for our eternal life to live with the Lord forever. Who am I? And he is saying that I am the truth. All truth are narrow-minded. In mathematics, if we say 2 plus 2 is 4, we cannot say with the broad-minded, accepting also the answer, possible answer as 3 or 5. We know that the heaven is revolving around the sun. In broad-mindedness, we cannot accept the sun is also revolving around the earth. What happens? We know that in chemistry, H2O is water. In broad-mindedness, we cannot accept H2O can be the salt as well. What happened? All the mathematical calculations, all the astronomical calculations, and all chemical calculations will go completely wrong. All truth is absolute. They should be narrow-minded, especially with preferring with God Himself. We cannot accept Jesus with all the other gods. We cannot equate everyone to be included with Jesus. Truth is Jesus alone. Jesus is our truth. That should be narrow-minded. There is a proverb saying that all roads can lead to Rome. That cannot happen in this divinity. Only the way. Jesus is the way. And He alone can be our truth. No one can replace that place. No one can be substituted in that place. No one can be added along with Jesus. Jesus is alone the truth. What He has offered to us will not allow us to compare or equate with anyone else in the place of Jesus. He alone is our truth. How am I? He is saying that I have become, I am the life. Jesus, He came as a helpless babe, as a humble one, as an incarnated one. He came and appeared as a human around us. The life He brought us from heaven was to offer Himself for us to have life. He wants to give the life not only to live on this earth, for us to have for eternity. He is a life giver. People in the world are astonished. They are surprised. They are searching for this truth. They are searching for where they can get this eternal life. Some people go and search with astrologers, asking them how long they will live on this earth. Some people, they depend upon the zodiac signs. They will see in the magazines according to their signs to see what the week is going to bring about. And to the other extreme, some people never mind about death or life after. They have postponed their thoughts until the necessity comes. We don't know what is going to come tomorrow. We don't know what is going to come after this service. Nothing is guaranteed, including our life. Truth is in His hands. He is the truth. He has made the way. He has made the way. He offered His life, and that's the way He has made for us to reconcile with the Father, and that the truth and the life He has given us can allow us to go and live with Him forever. After asking all those questions, finally, Philip was asking, "Will you show us the Father?" Because all the time, Jesus has been thinking or talking about my Father's house. I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father, and I will tell you when my Father, 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 who is that Father? Will you show us that Father so that we can believe? It is a genuine and a curious one to know about the Father. Because the Father is the perfecter. Father is the origin of everything. And Father is the life giver. And Father is the one who provided the salvation. So there is, who would not like to see the Father? We are all longing to see the Father. And whenever Jesus replies them, "You have seen me, the Father is in me, so you have seen the Father also." So I always think about, yes, the disciples have seen you, so you have told them, Jesus, that you have seen them and the Father has been revealed in you. We haven't seen you, Jesus, so how do we know how the Father looks like? This was a question in my mind for many days. What he is saying here, believe me for the work's sake. That's a belief we need to have. For all the encounters we are seeing around, the creation spells, the universe says, Jesus dying on the cross proclaims, and the word we read, the Holy Spirit breathed into that, it says, the Father is with us. Jesus is a true representation of the Father himself. Jesus is radiating the glory of Father in his work. And all these works, the miracles we are experiencing, the day-to-day life, the hope, the trust, everything we have received in, spells out the Father's presence. There is an interconnectivity between the Father and Son relationship. And who is revealing that to us? The Holy Spirit. What a Trinitarian work happening. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Always, from the beginning, from Genesis until Revelation, we can see that the work of God, the work of Son on this earth to provide the way, to prepare the place for us until we go and see the Father. Our hearts might be troubled sometimes. Maybe after hearing the words, we say that, yes, he is the way and he is the truth. But after going back home, we don't know what else it is going to come. But stay on this one verse. I am the way, I am the truth and the life. Whenever your hearts are troubled, remember Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. The life we are living here is very temporary. And Jesus himself has gone to prepare the place for us. Jesus himself will come back and take us home. We don't need to worry about how our souls will be departing after this, where our souls will be going. Is that like in a moment of glimpse it happens, where I will be in the darkness? Will I see any light after that? For all those questions, one answer, Jesus is the way. He will bring the light. He will show the direction. He will take us home. Amen.